You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends, the number one source for travel news, reviews, and in-depth travel journalism. Broadcasting live from Florida's Suncoast on WTMY Sunday Travel Radio. Don't forget, you can listen to us online 24/7 at ttrn.com. And now, here's our host, the travel guy, Roy Lowy.
Thank you, Greg. You're listening to Talking Travel, and my guests today are Johnny Jett, a great friend, and always full of good information. Brooke Forensic, travel expert for TripAdvisor, when we come back.
So you want to stop smoking? Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier. Tell him you don't want to pay for the product. You just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if, you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it? Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they will send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of the Smoke-Free capsules, a Guide to Living Smoke-Free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules, just in case you are worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Smoke-Free.
Call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. This is a limited-time offer. Call 1-800-210-0311 now.
Hey folks, Kent Emmons here. Have you ever wondered how the wealthy vacation? Do you picture big suites at luxurious resorts and fun and exotic destinations? Well, you're right. And now you and your family can vacation like the rich and famous for about the same price that you've been paying for those cheesy hotel rooms. Get ready to write down this number, because what used to be available only to the wealthy is now available to you. It's called Vacation Ownership. And now for only $99, you can take a 3-day, 2-night Discovery Vacation, and we'll show you how you and your family can vacation in style for the rest of your life. For only $99, choose from many exciting destinations, including Las Vegas, Orlando, Branson, Williamsburg, Myrtle Beach, California, Mexico, and more. So leave those cheesy hotels to the Griswolds and treat your family to the luxury they deserve. Family vacations are all about building memories that last forever. So give us a call. Here's the number. 1-800-465-1712. 1-800-465-1712. Toll free. 1-800-465-1712.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up," protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now. 1-800-410-0569. 1-800-410-0569. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure. 1-800-410-0569.
You are listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy at WTMY 1280 in Sarasota. My next guest is Johnny Jett, the world traveler himself. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Roy. How you doing?
Actually, I'm doing great. Actually, this is going to air in the afternoon, so I probably shouldn't have said that. So I'll just say, hi, Johnny.
Hi, Roy.
Listen, you've been doing some serious traveling. What I'd like to do today is just kind of chat about the industry in general. But aside from that, I was shocked when I saw that you were in Mumbai and very close to that terrible tragedy that happened recently.
Yeah, I was actually supposed to be at that hotel. I had a reservation 36 hours later for there, and which I was really looking forward to going to. And then I was actually in central India on a tiger safari when that happened.
Well, I mean, what was the general feeling there? I mean, obviously horror, shock, but give us a feeling for what was going on at the time that this was all happening.
Well, I woke up in the middle of the night, I was jet lagged, and I just looked at my BlackBerry, and, you know, I saw the CNN breaking news, which I get once in a while, and it's usually something to do domestically, so I opened it up and I saw Mumbai. I was like, what used to go turn on the TV because there's tigers out there, monkeys and stuff. So I had to wait till the morning pretty much so I could get an escort. They didn't want to wake anyone up. And, I mean, just I was the first one to know around there. And when I told people, they just looked at me and their eyes just opened wide. And they're like, are you kidding me? And everyone just went and looked at the TV. And they were just disgusted, sad. And, I mean, everything you could possibly think of.
Yeah,
and, but the Indians were so friendly.
Yeah, I love the Indians. They are. They're a great bunch and very hospitable. I love their food. The only problem I have is they tend to eat very late at night. And, you know, if you're having a few drinks before, by the time the food comes out at 11 o'clock, you're pretty hungry. So generally then what happened? They obviously had to divert your press trip and find some alternative.
Yeah, I was on a private trip. And I was supposed to leave the following morning for Mumbai, but you know everything was still going down. They didn't catch all the terrorists, so obviously I wasn't going to go to Mumbai then. So I waited one more day to go, but I needed to go to Shanghai I was doing a trip around the world, and my next stop was Shanghai. And to leave from Mumbai, the flight only left from Mumbai, but the connection wouldn't allow me to just fly to the airport and hang out. I had to spend the night in Mumbai. You know, luckily I had some PR friends, and they called me up, and they said one of their good friends is a GM of the Hyatt, which is about 15 minutes from the airport, which is about 14 miles away from, you know, the Taj and where everything went down. And 14 miles in India is about 45 minutes in traffic, at least, minimum, without traffic. So I was pretty far away from everything.
Yeah.
But when I went into Mumbai, it was like business as usual. I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and I was on the Upper East Side, and you would really never know what went on.
Right, unless you were in that general area.
You were down there, and it was the same thing in Mumbai, except going into the hotel was a different story. Like pulling into the driveway, pulling into the street, which is about 5 blocks from the hotel. There was a security check where they checked for car bombs, and then when you got to the hotel. To the driveway of the hotel, they did the same thing. They looked under the car, they looked under the hood, or the trunk, and even people who were walking into the hotel, they got frisked. And then when you pull into the driveway and actually walk into the hotel, everyone had to go through a metal detector.
So what do you think is going to happen? It's not only India. What do you think is going to happen in general with security with these hotels? Because now we go through it at the airports. We've been doing that for a while. Is it getting to the point if we go to the grocery store, we're going to have to go through a metal detector? Or?
I don't think so. It's even with the metal detectors, it's tough to detect these things.
Right.
I mean, you can detect a gun, but how many times have you gone through a metal detector at a store at the mall and it goes off and no one even looks?
Right.
You just keep walking.
Right. Exactly. And
but
the other part of it is nobody can stop somebody. These guys just walk by with guns and just start opening fire at people that were in the cafe. How do you protect yourself from that?
You can't. I mean, the only thing you can do is always be observant, but to the point where, you have to be looking at everybody. You're almost going to be trained as a Secret Service. You just have to be always looking around and see if something looks suspicious and just get ready for your exit strategy. But you basically cannot defend that, because if someone's willing to die and they have bombs on them, they have AK-47s, you just have to think that when it's my time, it's my time, or what.
Yeah, well, it's really a terrible shame, and these radical few, and from what I heard and read about these this group that did this, young guys that come from poor areas that they psych into all of this stuff. I mean, I just can't believe that people are willing to run out for the sake of religion, if that's what it is, and commit suicide.
It's lack of education. I mean, everyone needs to be, if you're educated, people don't do these things.
The thing is that if these terrorist groups can get into these kids' heads, why can't the schools get into their heads, or the districts and areas, before they get to that point? Because as we know, once you're Once you've got the children, once you've got their attention and educate them in whatever direction you're going, as they grow, you have them forever. You know, it's just a terrible thing.
Yeah, I wish I knew the answer. I wish we could prevent it. It's going to be tough, but you just can't let these guys change your plans. You have to go on with them because it could happen at home. I mean, look what happened in San Diego a couple days ago. Family sitting at home, and all of a sudden a fighter jet lands on their house.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, anything could happen. When I told my family I had to fly to Mumbai and spend the night, and my friends, they were freaking out, and they put the fear in me. But I was thinking, you know what? Mumbai has got to be one of the safer places right now. And my other option was to go to Delhi. But I was like, you know what? I think Delhi is more of a target than Mumbai.
Yeah.
Because everyone in Mumbai is on alert, and they have all that security, like I just mentioned, in place.
Right.
And I'd go back to Mumbai tonight. So.
Well, you know, just getting on from there, I mean, as you say, their security is going to be different. Maybe there won't be metal detectors, but I think the hotels are already working on some serious security.
They are. Working on stuff that hopefully no one knows about. This was an inside job part of it. I mean, they all went through back doors.
Mm-hmm.
They had to know somebody. They didn't even go through the front entrance.
Right.
A few days later, I stayed at the JW Marriott in Shanghai. And you know what happened in Shanghai, not Shanghai, what happened at the JW Marriott in Pakistan a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And so I was expecting, you know, all kinds of safety precautions when I pulled up to this hotel. There was nothing. There wasn't no one checking under the car for bombs or even metal detectors or anything like that or a block off. And I said that to one of the managers, and they're like, "This is China. We don't have to worry about that stuff."
Mm.
And they're right, because China is safe.
Yeah.
But to get into China is very tough. I mean, you have to apply for a visa. I tried to get to China this summer when I was in Hong Kong, and I couldn't get a visa for a day just to go shopping.
Right.
So some places you don't have to worry about it. Some places you do. India is one of the places you do have to worry about it because you can get in there pretty easy.
And you flew around on Jet Airways, and that you're saying that
it's
your...
Jet Airways?
No, I haven't, actually.
That is my favorite airline now.
your newest favorite airline.
Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, all the flight attendants are all professional. Most of them are young. The women are beautiful. They're all well-dressed. But when you get on the plane, which is new, and it feels safe, and the whole setup is amazing... You know, the flight attendants will help you lift your bags up. They even open the bathroom door for you. And I had the privilege of being able to fly business class. And so, you know, you get up to use the bathroom, and they're like, "Would you like me to make your bed?" I'm like, "That thing turns into a bed?" They're like, "Yeah." So then they make a bed for you.
Oh, that's kind of nice. Those are those new seats, are they?
Yeah, it's actually the same. I think they're the same seats as Air New Zealand has, which is, you know, I love those.
Right. I mean, they're not really a full bed, but they break down to a point where you can lie out. Is that correct?
Correct. Well, it goes completely flat.
Right. Unlike some of the other ones where have the partition and that sort of thing.
Right.
Right. So you did an around the world thing, did you?
I just did. I went L.A., Florida, to New York, Brussels. Delhi, then Delhi, to Nagpur, Mumbai, Shanghai, San Francisco, and then to L.A.
You're on the road a lot, Johnny, and you talk to a lot of people, and you're well-known in the industry. What's the general feeling that you get out there? You know, we hear so much doom and gloom, and yes, certainly there are changes, and certainly... I would guess that the numbers have dropped somewhat in terms of travel. But what's the general feeling that you get while you're out there traveling around?
Well, in terms of the economy?
Well, just generally. In terms of how the industry feel, the hotels, the airlines, what's the gut you get out of all of this?
Well, in terms of the economy, people are obviously concerned. They're worried about. I mean, they realize everyone's always going to travel, and they realize they're going to travel, you know, to go see family. But they are worried about, you know, are they going to take that 3-day weekend and fly somewhere? Or they might, you know, they might end up driving.
Or are they going to turn the 1 week vacation or the 1 week into 3 days?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of travelers these days who just do 3 days once in a while because they just can't take that much time off work, or now it's expensive, but they just don't know if they're going to fly and stay with family, you know, fly and stay at a hotel instead of drive and stay with family. But you know, traveling overseas, everyone is excited about Obama. I mean, before you bring up America, before you know you want to tell people that you're American, and now, you know, but the first thing you tell an American, they all go Obama. And actually, in India, I saw an Obama Biden sticker on a on a wall, on the outside of a wall at a store. I took a picture of it. I was like, this is incredible. I mean, and they're excited, waiting to find out, you know.
Well, I think people generally like America, and I think, you know, it's just that it's hard for them to digest some of the mistakes we've made in the last few years, especially with the Iraq and Afghanistan situation. So I think people generally would like to say, I'd like to have a reason to have Americans back as my friend again.
I agree. And, you know, I travel all around, and I always ask my tour guides or taxi driver, you know, how they feel about America. And up until a month or two ago, I was so shocked that these guys didn't want to come to America. First of all, you know, for them to even get a visa to come here, it's so expensive, right. Which is why it's expensive for us to get visas to go to their country, because they usually turn it around on us. And it's a long process. It's not even guaranteed that they'll get a visa, and they have to get charged, no matter if they're denied or not. And then it's just the rules that come in here. I mean, our numbers have dropped. Just even to fly from Europe to South America, and you had to go through, like, say, Miami, just to do that is such a pain for these guys. They try and go through Toronto now.
Yeah, a lot of them have diverted. Yep.
And it's a shame, and hopefully our new administration will wake up and see the value and make some changes.
And maybe even readdress the Cuban situation.
I bet you they will.
Wouldn't that be nice? What about the hotels? What about the tourism boards and people like that that you talk to? Are they optimistic?
I mean, I think everyone in general is optimistic. But, you know, it's a scary time right now since everything's going down. But they're just hoping for the best. And you know, everyone thinks it's going to change. And our dollar seems to be getting stronger. I mean, I was just in Europe a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't believe the prices they were. I mean, it was so much better than it was when I was there this summer. This summer, I think the euro was like $1.60. Right now, it's $1.29.
Yeah. And I found that when I was, certainly in London, the prices were so high. It was, you know, it was just, I was shocked.
Yeah. A bus ride in London for me last year was $8 to go from the airport to my airport hotel. It cost $8.
Yeah.
One way.
Yep.
I think this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I in driving into the station, the radio station today, I was looking at gas prices, and probably the lowest one I saw was $1.57. But you know, I was looking at it and knowing I was going to chat with you, I thought to myself, I went in to get your take on it, is that I just hope this isn't smoke and mirrors to get through the holidays, so everybody goes out and spends a bunch of money, and then all of a sudden, January 7th, the prices of gas triple again, you know?
I never even thought of that, to tell you the truth. I don't know. I doubt it. Actually, I just read that I think Merrill Lynch is predicting that gas is going to go under $1.
Yeah.
And they're also talking about it might even go further down. Actually, I was reading it yesterday.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it obviously should have never gone where it did before, and I'm not too sure who is behind all that, but it makes you wonder. And did they, you know, did they make their bundle and figure, all right, we made it, let's go back to the basics again? I don't know. I don't know if there's ever going to be an answer to any of that. But let's go on to onto your round the world trip. You started out, you say you started in Miami because you have family in Florida anyway, right?
Yeah, actually, I flew to Fort Lauderdale, and then I went on a cruise, Celebrity Solstice. Did you do that?
Yes, that was one of the questions I had. How'd you? I took the one just before you. I was getting off, and you were getting on.
I thought I was going to see you.
Yeah, me too. I was just, and Mike was with me as well. But we had a great trip. It was an amazing ship. Give us your take on it. I'd like to hear your side.
It was my first time doing a cruise in about, I think, 8 or 9 years. And I've only done Carnival before that. So getting on this thing, I was like, wow, this is impressive. I mean, I felt like I was at a 5-star hotel.
Exactly.
In Las Vegas. So, I mean, they have a casino, they have the library, and just the atrium with the 8 glass elevators, you know, 4 of them facing each other, and the music playing.
The gals with the violins down there, yeah.
I got a good picture of them.
Yeah, and you stayed on the blue level, right?
I stayed on, I think mine was on level 7.
Yeah.
I don't remember what color it was. But the food was spectacular. I didn't want to get off. I was there on for 2 nights, and it wasn't enough. I think it was 2 nights.
Well, my take is very much like yours. I don't do a lot of cruises because I spent a lot of time on an aircraft carrier at one stage of my life, and I was very impressed with the whole ship, with the service, and when I walked into the lunch area, I was just blown away by the food and all of the different food stations, and just the way it looked. It had a nice look about it all the time.
Yeah, it was clean, and the food was good, and they had all, you know, you had gelato downstairs, you had ice cream. I mean, I know I gained a good 5-10 pounds, but I was impressed the most about the room, because usually you think of rooms as these dark, small, tiny rooms. I walk in, and I think 85% of the boat, I think, has staterooms, and they all have balconies.
Yeah,
I have this balcony, sliding glass door.
Yep.
I have a big bed, a flat screen TV, a good sized shower, and you walk in, you're like, wow. I just felt like I had the best view in the world. You wake up in the morning, open the curtain, and you're looking out, and you're like, that is an ocean view right there.
Yeah, it really was. And of course, the main dining room, I as you probably did, as we can discuss, is that the main dining room I thought was most impressive. And I wasn't aware at first that tall tower at the one end of the main dining room was a wine tower. It was It was all full of wine bottles. In fact, it was just this tall glass tower that started at the
I didn't know they had that.
It was at the main level, and then it went all the way up to the second level. And it was if you're walking in the dining room, it was at the forward end, which is really the aft end of the ship, you know. But when somebody said to me, that's a wine tower, then I went and checked it out, and it was just full of wine bottles. This whole glass thing was a tower of wine. And then, of course, the boutique restaurants were really lovely. Which one did you eat in?
I actually ate at that restaurant.
No, you had one meal at the main one, right?
At the Grand, whatever.
Right, and then but your second meal.
And then the other one was at the Asian restaurant.
Yeah, that's what we ate, was the Asian one. But
we couldn't order off the menu on that one. It was just all set up. And that night, the food wasn't my favorite because it wasn't anything I really liked.
Yeah, that's funny you should say that. And unfortunately, the same thing happened to us. The appetizers came out cold, and we had the vice president of marketing was sitting at our table, but you know, we were the guinea pigs. You're out there, they try stuff out and see what works and what doesn't work. But when I walked through some of the other boutique restaurants, they were really impressive and well thought out.
I ate the one where they do the crepes.
Yes, that's another good spot. And, of course, the martini bar was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see. What about the
The casino?
Yeah, the casino was great.
I brought my dad with me.
Oh, did you? Good.
Yeah, and he loves casinos. So he's like, this is the nicest casino I've ever been into. And he's been all around. He's been to every hotel, Vegas Casino and Connecticut and Atlantic City. He's like, this is so nice.
What do you think of the shows?
I only went to one.
Which was the big one with the
Ghost Whisperer? Not the Ghost Whisperer, sorry. The Ghost, what do you call it? Stage Ghost?
The one where they had the flyers?
They didn't do that.
They didn't have the show with, like, the Cirque du Soleil sort of thing?
I missed that, but I heard about it, and I saw, and I was there actually for the naming ceremony of the ship.
Right.
And so when they did it a unique way. Instead of just going up top and breaking the bottle, they had a string or ribbon tied to the bottle at the very top of the ship, and they brought it all throughout the ship into the theater. And then they had one of those girls who floats through the air, you know, go up and grab the ribbon and bring it down to the CEO and the goddess or the godmother, and then she cut it there, and then you could watch on the big screen the whole ribbon going throughout the ship, and then the bottle of champagne falling and breaking against the side of the ship. So it was pretty unique.
What I also liked about the ship is that I didn't get lost on it. Everything seemed to be fore and aft, and you didn't have to go through a lot of winding corridors to find out where you were. The shops, I thought, were beautiful. That main room, I think they call it the Sky Room, forward, where it was all glassed in. You could sit in there and just look out in front of the ship. The green area where you could play croquet or
glass blower.
The glass blowers was
cool.
It was great.
I didn't really find the shops to be very appealing.
But they were kind of upscale.
Really upscale. Yeah. High end boutique. I guess they're not trying to appeal to me. They're trying to go to the real high end.
Yeah, I was surprised though how many people were in that jewelry store.
Oh really? Okay, I didn't see anyone when I walked through.
Yeah, well, I guess it's all about timing. But it was a great tour, and I certainly appreciate the invite. And it was as you say quite spectacular. And I think their first cruise is coming up on the 15th of December. Johnny, we've got a minute or so left. How about sharing a website and possibly some other little goodies that you might have with our audience before you go off?
Yeah, well, I'm just about to send my newsletter, so I'll give you a little
a heads up.
One of them that I'm doing this week is Keith Prowse theater tickets. Have you heard of Keith Prowse?
I know Keith. Yes,
they're all throughout. I mean, I first heard of them in London, but they've been around for 200 years.
Yeah, so they've been around.
Website of the week.
They've been around a long time.
Also, I was just in San Francisco, and they had the new Zeppelin. Have you seen that?
No.
Airship Ventures.
No.
They brought the Zeppelin back, and they're now offering rides for $450 an hour around the Golden Gate Bridge. And I didn't go on it. I just saw it from my hotel. I was at Caballo Point, and every day I would see this huge blimp cruising by, and I just did some research on it. It's called airshipventures.com. So next time you're in San Francisco, you can go on this, and you can even do a two-hour trip, but it's double the price. And it holds 12 passengers. But it's the same. It's from Germany. They brought it's the Zeppelin. It's back.
That's great. That's super. One can obviously find this on Johnny's site, johnnyjet.com. And my guest has been Johnny Jett. Johnny, it's always a pleasure, and look forward to speaking to you again soon. And if I don't, have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too.
Bye for now.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-338-4300.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-338-4300. That's 1-800-338-4300.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll-free.
Call 800-338-4300. That's 1-800-338-4300. Call 800-338-4300.
Do you suffer from chronic pain, severe arthritis, joint pain, or fibromyalgia? Living every day in pain can make you depressed, fatigued, and moody. You can even be losing sleep. Well, I can help you stop the pain today with a free sample of Pain Free. Pain Free is a revolutionary new safe and effective cream that uses the natural power of glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. Simply rub Pain Free on the skin and your body will naturally melt away the pain fast. Get your free supply of Pain Free now and see if Pain Free is right for you. Only pay shipping and handling.
Just call Pain Free toll free at 1-877-283-3445. That's 1-877-283-3445.
Pain Free is trusted by professional athletes for quick pain relief. So free yourself from depression, fatigue, and chronic pain for only the cost of shipping and handling.
Just call Pain Free toll free at 1-877-283-3445. That's 1-877-283-3445.
Please listen carefully. The next 55 seconds could help change your life. If you're looking to start your own business or an efficient way to supplement your current income, the opportunity exists now to join one of the most successful internet-based marketing systems. And better yet, you can do this right from your home. That's right. The economic advantage of no expense and time wasted commuting to and from work. You'll get the training and the support you need through online seminars and conference calls to help make your business a success. Powerful internet and computer-based technology systems assist you in the sales process. And importantly, you'll have a great product to sell. To learn more and to fill out an application, go to www.sarasotacashcow.com. That's www.sarasotacashcow.com. Do you want more independence and control of your life? Don't wait any longer. Start now. It's as simple as going to SarasotaCashCow.com and filling out an application now.
You're listening to Talking Travel on WTMY 1280 in Sarasota, and this is Roy Lowy. My next guest is Brooke Forensic, and Brooke is a travel expert for TripAdvisor, and Brooke has traveled around the world and has lived in Jakarta, Indonesia, Singapore, New York City, Philadelphia, Houston, New Orleans, and is currently living in Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Roy. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Let's chat a bit about TripAdvisor.
Sure. Well, TripAdvisor.com is the world's largest travel community. And we feature 25 million visitors to our site every month. We have more than 20 million reviews and opinions on our site, and it's real reviews and opinions on hotels, attractions, restaurants, and destinations from across the world.
And you're doing something different. TripAdvisor is going to donate some money, I understand.
That's right. TripAdvisor is involved in a philanthropic initiative. It's called our More Than Footprints Philanthropic Initiative. And what we did is we asked travelers to vote on 5 different travel-related nonprofits. And based on the votes, we were donating $1 million to these nonprofits. And the different nonprofits involved in this were Conservation International, which is saving the places that people love to visit, Doctors Without Borders, which is emergency relief, the National Geographic Society, which is exploring and sustaining authentic places, the Nature Conservancy, which is environmental protection, and Save the Children, which is aiding children around the world.
How was that decision made?
These are great travel-related nonprofits. We really felt like
This is just a way for TripAdvisor to give back and for our travelers to make a difference in helping the places that they love to visit. And so by casting a vote online, TripAdvisor travelers can really leave a lasting impact on destinations that will be felt for years to come.
And obviously, I would think somebody did a lot of research into these organizations, because as we know, there are a lot of organizations out there, and it's kind of difficult to pick and choose.
Absolutely. You know, there are a number of very worthy organizations, and certainly travelers want to give back, and with this challenging economic environment, it's made it harder than ever for people to, you know, reach into their own wallets. But what's really nice about this initiative is that it allowed people to give without actually having to spend a dime. So by voting, they're helping TripAdvisor designate where the money goes to these different organizations, and it's been a really great campaign, and travelers have responded incredibly well, and you know, we're excited to be able to make a difference.
And rightly so. I think it's a wonderful gesture and a great project when one has the ability to reach out and touch somebody, so to speak. Go ahead.
I feel the same way. Thank you.
You did a video with actress Rosario Dawson, I believe.
That's right. So as a part of our More Than Footprints philanthropic initiative, we worked with the actress Rosario Dawson, and the video that we did with her was called Vote Why Bother, and it was kind of a sarcastic play on the Don't Vote video, which is the popular The Five Friends video,
right.
Which stars a number of other celebrities, which encourages people to register and vote for the presidential election. And, you know, Rosario did a wonderful job. She was a real pleasure to work with. And, you know, she's in a lot of big movies. She's in a new movie with Will Smith and was recently in the movie Eagle Eye.
The other thing is that when you do make this choice of what organizations you are going to donate to, it must be difficult to figure out how do you break it down. For example, I'm looking at some figures here, and you left this, I think, somewhat up to the voters, did you not?
That's right. So TripAdvisor was donating $1 million, and we asked our travelers to help us determine which organizations they would like to see the money go to, and every one of the organizations is receiving money, but our travelers were, you know, very much in line with what TripAdvisor is all about, which is, you know, really letting the travelers provide the opinions and really letting the travelers decide. We wanted our travelers to help us decide where our $1 million donation should go, and you know, they were. Really, number one voting was Doctors Without Borders. They received 39% of the vote. Number two was the Nature Conservancy, or excuse me, Save the Children,
right,
which received about 35% of the vote. The Nature Conservancy was third with about 14%, and Conservation International was fourth, so it was fifth. But again, every one of there really isn't a first and fifth. I mean, every
right.
one of these donations is. Or excuse me, every one of these organizations is receiving a donation from TripAdvisor, but really we felt like it was very much in line with what TripAdvisor is all about, to have our travelers help us determine where to send the money.
Yeah, I think it was a brilliant move, certainly to get your community involved in this sort of thing is what it's all about. I think we in business, especially today, we seem to lose track of who's out there and looking after the people and service and all of these things that are so very important and that we're hearing that there's so little of these days, which is a very unfortunate situation.
You're absolutely right. And you know, with TripAdvisor, we just really believe in the power of our community. It's what has made our website successful, and you know, it's the collective wisdom of the millions of people who contribute and visit our site. You know, we wanted their opinions and we wanted their help in deciding where the donation should be allocated, and you know, this is just another way where our travelers have really been stepped up and had their voices heard. So we're really proud about that.
The big word in the industry these days is green. And what are your findings about people's attitude towards this green expression, traveling green, one might say?
Travelers are more inclined to be green. That's something that we learned through recent surveys. We also asked about volunteering on vacation. We wanted to know if that was an important factor for travelers, and 29% of people we surveyed said they've participated in a volunteer or charitable activity while on vacation. 23% of those that we surveyed said they're going to engage in a volunteer or charitable activity while on vacation in this coming year. 10% said they often incorporate volunteer or charitable activities into their vacation plans. So it's certainly top of mind. It's resonating. It's making a difference. In terms of green travel in particular, those numbers are up. We've seen that in recent surveys. One of the most important volunteer activities that travelers plan to do on a future vacation include environmental cleanup and maintenance, according to 35% of those surveyed. So that's really a hot button topic for travelers. There's no doubt about that.
What are some of the other things they might do?
Other things that travelers are interested in when it comes to volunteer activities while vacationing are educational assistance. 31% of the travelers that we surveyed said they'd be interested in getting involved with that. Cultural preservation, 28% said that's going to be something they'd like to get interested in. And humanitarian assistance, so that was 26% who said that they would like to get involved with that initiative.
The other thing is that I was amazed at the number of visitors that you get at TripAdvisor. It's a staggering amount, and when you think of that and what TripAdvisor is offering, one has to sort of sit back and say, gee, that's an awful lot of people they're dealing with on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely, and it goes back again to, you know, what makes TripAdvisor successful is the power of our community and that power of the collective voice. And, you know, it's the volume of reviews and opinions on TripAdvisor that allows people to make the best possible choices for their trips. And, you know, it's the idea of this user-generated content and, you know, the social networking that's available on TripAdvisor, where, you know, one traveler learns something from the site, they're kind of beholden to help the next person plan their trip. And the sharing and kind of helping each other out and planning the best possible trips becomes contagious, and travelers really are looking to not just learn from TripAdvisor but also contribute and help others. And there are a number of means they can do it. It's not just through writing reviews, but they can share opinions on our forums. They can post photos on our site, which is, you know, a great visual element to help. In addition to reviews, help people see, like, what's behind the hotel, if you will. We've got videos, and there are also some wiki tools on our site. So a number of ways in which travelers can contribute.
Well, it's interesting because I have the site up right now. I'm looking at it, and it says that more than 15 million travelers from 190 countries plan trips here this week. That's staggering.
That's a lot of people.
It certainly is. When you think of the population of the country. Brooke, let's just chat to our audience about what it really is, other than what you've mentioned previously, that TripAdvisor does. Because there are many people that probably haven't used TripAdvisor. And so can we walk them through a little bit?
Sure. People who are checking out TripAdvisor, they're planning their trips. They are trying to determine what hotel they should stay at. They're looking to see what restaurant they might want to visit while on a trip. They might even be looking for an inspiration for a destination to visit. So TripAdvisor covers all of those different elements. TripAdvisor has information on attractions. So anything related to your trip, any research that you need to do, TripAdvisor has all the information on where to go, what to see, where to eat, and where to sleep. So, a traveler can go in and search by destination. If they already know where they're going, they can go in and look at the different attractions and hotels for the destination that they've already planned to visit. They can check by price, which is really helpful, particularly now with the economic challenges. Everybody's kind of watching their budgets. So you can search for hotels under a certain price point per night. You can research free attractions. You can talk to people in the forums to find out more about kind of cost-effective ideas for trips. We've got local destination experts in cities across the world, and so travelers can really get all the information that they need as a part of their research in order to plan the best trip for them.
And I think most importantly, it's unbiased. Because, for example, I have the homepage up here, and I'm looking at rants and raves, the best and worst revealed, and I'm looking at one property, and it says, the room was large and the view magnificent, and of course there's more. But then I go to the next one, and it says, smelly, hot, shabby, and dirty, otherwise okay.
Right. And that's really the beauty of TripAdvisor, is that you'll get the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that really helps you figure out whether or not a hotel or a destination or an attraction or a restaurant is right for you. The genesis of TripAdvisor was our CEO, Steve Coffer, was researching a trip, I believe it was in Mexico, and he wasn't able to find any information on hotels beyond what was on kind of their own slick marketing website.
Right.
So TripAdvisor did provide the avenue for this unbiased, real reviews from real people, which our reviews are many of them are incredibly detailed, where people will tell, here were the great elements about the hotel, here are some of the things that, could be improved. So, a traveler who's doing that research will get to see, and maybe certain things are a greater priority than others. So if the pool wasn't great, that might be something that's incredibly important to you. You might pick somewhere else.
Well, exactly. And the next item I'm looking at here is that obviously you run a regular poll, and the one that's up there today is, do you have a desire to visit Mount Rushmore? And it's yes, no, and I have already. What do you do with these results?
Well, we are always putting our finger on the pulse of what our travelers are doing. We're interested in travel trends because we feel like it helps us provide better tools on our site. It helps us have a better idea of what our travelers are interested in doing and what they're interested in visiting, what they're researching, and what might inspire them to travel. So by doing these regular polls, we recently put out our 2009 travel trends, which is on our website as well. We get to learn about what's important to travelers and help us provide a better product for them.
And it just so happens next to that, you encourage people to send in photographs, as you'd mentioned, and the one up there today happens to be Honolulu with a beautiful rainbow shot. And it's from someone who's been obviously following your site. And then there is an option to go to another page, I would assume, and find out more about Honolulu. But one of my favorite things is your today's top 10, and in this case it's family-friendly hotels in Europe. And how is that determined?
Well, there are a number of factors that go in. In terms of the top 10 lists that we do, they are, sometimes they're based on our popularity index, which is an algorithm that takes into account a number of different factors, but most importantly, the reviews and opinions posted on TripAdvisor. We also have, travelers can select certain criteria, such as this hotel is great for business travelers, or this hotel is great for families. And so when they can specifically mark that the hotel is, 1 to 5, 5 being the best, great for families, that helps us determine, here are the top 10 hotels that are family friendly.
Okay. And then, of course, the list is usually, they're usually 10 that you select. It's the 10 best. Is that
Typically, yeah. We list top 10.
Right.
Occasionally, we'll list top 5. But more often than not, we try to provide an offering of about 10 hotels or attractions or restaurants.
Now, since the Christmas season is shortly upon us, and I have a little time here, and if you'll hang in there with us, we can cover some more of this for some of the people who maybe haven't made some of their decisions. And
sure.
I'm looking at partner sites, Brooke, and I see Plan a Cruise with Cruise Critic. And then I see Read Travel Guides on Smarter Travel, which is interesting that you're pointing them to that. And then Airline Seating Charts, which is always an interesting seat, which you point them to Seat Guru. And then on Booking Buddy, Airfare Watch, Travel iPod, and then Travel Resources on Independent Traveler. So you're really putting people in touch with a lot of information, a lot of resources that are out there.
We do, and you know that's part of the strength of our TripAdvisor media network. You know, in addition to what people can research on TripAdvisor.com, as a part of our network, we've also got Booking Buddy, Cruise Critic, as you've mentioned, Airfare Watchdog, Seat Guru, Smarter Travel, Travel Pod. So we've got a lot of different tools for travelers to you know, plan great trips. And certainly we think that with, you know, it kind of starts with TripAdvisor. That's where you're going to get your inspiration. You're going to do all your homework. These other sites are going to be helpful too. You can book through them. You can find out more about your seats. It's a great place. Travel Pod's a great place to blog about your trips. And I should also mention that, you know, while you can't book anything on TripAdvisor, we do offer links to all the, you know, links through all the major booking companies out there, like Expedia, like Orbitz or Travelocity. So once you do find, you know, your inspiration and you've decided where you're going to go, you can quickly click over and book your travel
through your own booking engine.
Not TripAdvisor. You don't book anything on TripAdvisor, but we provide links to those other websites where you can actually book your trips.
Right, through their booking engine.
Yep.
Right. What's interesting about this is that a lot of websites try to capture you and then don't let you go away, or it's all about that site. This is about TripAdvisor, but not all about TripAdvisor, and I think that's a great benefit because it becomes, in essence, almost a one-stop shop.
Well, that's certainly our hope, and I think that's what we're trying to deliver to our travelers, is provide as much information as we possibly can on one site so that they can make the best informed decision for making their trips as best as they can, and then really trips that are in line with what their personal travel needs are. So, you know, the resources that we provide through, you know, our partner sites, or, you know, any of the other different areas that you can visit on TripAdvisor, and just the really robust information that we have, and, you know, pretty much anywhere in the world you're researching, you're going to be able to find some great content on TripAdvisor, which will help you plan a better trip.
And it's very user friendly, as I'm looking at this. Very, very user-friendly, and that's important because they're the older people who have maybe just gotten into online planning and online searches could, in some cases, have difficulty, but certainly not on this. In fact, I'm looking at the best eco-adventures, and I'm just going to see where that takes me. Apparently, you're offering a guide on that. You just enter your email address, and you can download this guide right there.
We do. Yeah, we've got a number of different guides that people can download. We've got a bargain travel guide that people can download off our site. As you mentioned, the green travel guide. So we just want to provide the most amount of information so that travelers can book the right trip for them. And, you know, certainly in terms of it being user-friendly, I'm happy to hear that you feel that way. We try to make the site simple. We don't want it to seem cluttered, but we've got so much information on our site that, you know, we just want to deliver it in a way that's easy to comprehend. And, you know, I think we use a lot of top 10 lists, which people seem to enjoy. And, you know, we've got search bars so that it's very easy to, you know, if you're looking to kind of shift gears and go from one destination to another, you can just go into that search bar and quickly type in the other destinations that you're interested in researching, or hotels or restaurants and et cetera.
Thank you, Brooke. My guest today has been Brooke Forensic. He's a travel expert for TripAdvisor. You can go to tripadvisor.com and just check out everything we've been talking about. Thank you, Brooke, and hope to chat with you again soon. Have a great holiday and stay safe.
You too, Roy. Thanks again for your time. Pleasure speaking with you, and have a wonderful holiday.
And for all you savvy travelers out there listening, you may want to tune in on Sundays from 3 p.m. till 9 for WTMY's all-new Sunday Travel Radio. From 3 to 5, Pierre Wolf will host America's Travel and Dining Guide. Then from 5 to 6, yours truly, Roy Lowy, will host Talking Travel. Then 6 to 9, Travel with Stephanie Abrams. We'll offer you a six-hour mix of everything that relates to travel, from travel journalists reporting from around the world, what's hot, what's not, single travel, single parents with kids, the best online travel sites. Our consumer advocates will even be on the job to resolve issues that you may have, and we'll cover it right here on WTMY. So if you want the latest travel info, we'll be here from 3 to 9 on Sundays, and hope you will join us right here on WTMY 1280. You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy, and I'm your travel guide.
Down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you are balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-3147. That's 800-410-3147. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost or obligation, so call now, 800-410-3147.
This is MoneyJingle.com calling all small businesses. Did you know that businesses that advertise aggressively throughout a recession will grow on average 3 times faster than those that don't? But how can you afford it? The answer, MoneyJingle.com, Sarasota's leading business directory. We'll drive more customers to your business than you can imagine for less than $1.50 per day. MoneyJingle.com. Call 544-0036. That's 544-0036.
One time or another, all of us might need a rehabilitation and nursing center, maybe from an accident or an illness. So where should you go? The answer is simple. Springwood, located at 4602 Northgate Court, right here in Sarasota. Whether you need long-term or short-term care, or post-acute care, or even hospice, the caregivers at Springwood will be there for you. Why not stop by and take a personal tour? Just call 941-355-2913 or visit their website, springwoodrnc.com. Springwood, the best-kept secret in Sarasota. Soda.